Let's take our Bibles and look together in Exodus chapter 15. This is called the Song of Moses, but I like to think of it as the Song of the Redeemed Ones, because it shows the Lord's great redemption of how he brought Israel out of Egypt. And yet that way was only open for Israel. When the Egyptians sought to pursue and follow through, the Lord caused the waters to overflow the Egyptians, and that they died in the midst of the sea. Throughout Scripture, this particular psalm that the Lord gave to Moses, but also it says there in verse 1, and the children of Israel. Children of Israel being a representation of those that God has redeemed in Christ. And throughout Scripture, you'll find quoted in the Psalms, even in Revelation, different parts of this psalm. And that's why I like the title, The Song of the Redeemed. And see if you don't agree. Verse 1, chapter 15, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song, notice, unto the Lord. Who is it that does the deliver? Who does it? Redeemed is the Lord, who is not here to be able to sing. It's the enemies. Pharaoh representing that one that the Lord raised up to manifest in him his power to destroy him. But this is for those that the Lord has chosen. Israel is a chosen nation. Redeemed, how were they redeemed? They were brought out through the Passover lamb. It wasn't anything they did. It was the Lord. That's why it's a picture of the church. And notice the words. To me, a great hymn is not just the tune, but it's the words. And spake, saying. How many of us think of a hymn as being a declaration? That's how Paul describes it to the Colossians. Sing unto the Lord from the grace of God in your hearts. And exhorting and teaching one another through song, hymns, and spiritual songs. So, spake saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. What's the evidence of a good song? Well, it gives all the glory to the Lord. No I am here. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Here again is a reminder of who it is that owns the horse and who it is that owns the rider. People speak all the time. We fall into that trap of saying, well, this is my horse. I ride. Nope. It's only as the Lord directs. In verse 2, the Lord is my strength and song. Think about a song being a rejoicing. There's a whole world out there that can't rejoice in a sovereign God, but his people. Because he's taught by his Spirit. It's not only that he is our strength, but our song, our rejoicing. And he has become my salvation. In other words, it's not a plan. It's not a decision. He has become my salvation. How does he become our salvation? By manifesting his power and delivering his people over and over and over again. I dare say if you could look back on your life, as I do, and began to write from the day you were born in this world, all that you can remember, just write it down, the deliverances of the Lord. Because that's what salvation means. Deliverance. Even before I knew him, to see his path and how he had his hand on us, all the way up until he's pleased to reveal himself in us. Paul said he was separated from his mother's womb, but called by the grace of God. You think about that path he had in religion, breathing out all that hatred against Christ and his people, and yet he was one of the Lord's all along. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. What is he speaking of there, that habitation? Well, he's speaking of the tabernacle, which God would give him instruction on how it was to be built. But how has God prepared himself a habitation? That's Christ. The song, so it's not only a song that gives the glory to God in all things, but it is concerning Christ. Any hymn that does not have Christ as its beginning, its middle, its end is just nothing but vain singing and jangling. Here it's forward looking to Christ, that tabernacle, that habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. You read over in Revelation 19:11, you'll see that's what Christ is called, man of war. Captain of salvation. And the Lord is his name, capital L-O-R-D, Jehovah God, revealed in Christ. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. Think about how powerful an army that was, and yet the Lord wiped it out in a second. They could not, of their own volition, follow this path that God had set forth for his people alone. But people today think that somehow they can commend themselves to God by their own free will and by their decision, by everything they can do. There's no way. This is for the Lord's people. He cast down the chariots. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. These weren't just Johnny-come-latelys. These were the top brass of Pharaoh's army that the Lord took out in a breath. The depths had covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. People that deny the wonders of God's working in Scripture, they try to argue that God caused Israel to cross the Red Sea during the dry season. And they found a place that was dried up, and that's how they went across. Well, the depths had covered them, and they sank into the bottom as a stone. Does God have the right to condemn whom he will? You know it. Here it is right here. Notice again, thy right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Who is the right hand of God? There again is Christ. In my Bible, I've written Christ next to him being the habitation prepared. I've written Christ in verse 3 next to the Lord as a man of war. And I've written Christ here as the right hand of God, of the Lord. And then the greatness of thine excellency. Notice the words used here. It's not just speaking of God moving on like you hear people talk about today. The greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. If you want to get people's attention, whenever there's an event, a trauma, a flood, a storm, whatever, try quoting Exodus 15:7 as the reason that it was the Lord that consumed those people as stubble. You will find a lot of people angered at you because they don't believe in such a God. And the reason is they're blind and in darkness, but they also have preachers and leaders who don't believe in God. Even though they have this Bible, they don't read it. See, they read it blindly. But all of this, the deliverance of Israel and the condemnation of the enemy, or of the Lord. It says, and with the blast of thy nostrils. We're talking about a storm here. We're talking about a flood. We're talking about a wind that the Lord created that took these as walls up on either side and such strength that it each actually dried the bed of the river. So they walked over on dry land. That just doesn't happen. And then when the Lord purposed, withdrew his hand and it all came. It says, the blast of thy nostrils. The waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. That we're seeing is so much even in our study of David, not only with Saul, how he was determined to rid himself of David, now Absalom, and yet in every detail, unable to lay their hand on the Lord's anointed. That's a picture of Christ, and that's a picture of us in him. Who is he that condemneth? It's God that justifies. But they, given an opportunity, you see, what will man do with given some freedom? He's going to fight against God. He's not going to run to God. He's not going to seek Christ. He's going to fight. They saw this open sea now. Rather than marvel at it, with the waters as high up as you can imagine, they determine, and you see, this is, here's where we see the I. It's not in the Song of the Redeemed. I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. That's so-called free will religion right there. I. Verse 10, thou didst blow wind. Thou didst blow with thy wind the sea covered them. You never hear a weatherman talking like that. Well, the Lord's wind today blew at 40 miles an hour. We had the Lord send a flood today, covered out a whole population. Tsunami. Lord's tsunami killed 100,000 people. You ever hear anybody? They'd be fired. That's that pride of man. But scripture states it just as it is. Thy wind. Whose wind is it? Thy storm. Thy sea. Thy breath. Covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters, as a stone as lead. This man just thinks he's something, but all the Lord has to do is take away the breath and he's nothing. He fall like a dead stone. Who is like unto thee, O Lord? Among the gods. Gods are only figments of men's imagination. People worship their God, but not this God. Who's like unto thee? Who is like thee, glorious in love? Is that what yours says? Glorious in holiness. That's the first thing has to be answered for God to be just and justified, is his holiness. Fearful in praises, doing wonders. Think about that even in singing. We're not just repeating words to pass time, but as the Lord enables us to sing fearful in praises, doing wonders. Even as we were singing, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord filled my mind with just how faithful he is to his son. And that work that he accomplished for sinners such as we are. Thou stretchest out thy hand, the earth swallowed them. There again, who is the right hand of God but Christ? He said, well, he wasn't even on the earth at this time. The earth, his coming on earth wasn't the beginning of his existence. John said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He said that there's nothing that's been made or created but what he did. Here it is how he deals with his people in contrast to his enemies. Verse 13, thou in thy mercy has led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Points back, what was the redemption for them? That was that Passover lamb. What's the redemption for those that are his today? The blood of the lamb. Christ our Passover was slain. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. How is that anybody has acceptance into God's holy habitation except for through the media, through the Redeemer. The people shall hear and be afraid. There's no fear in the world today in listening to the messages being preached properly. It's people are being entertained. There's no fear. I'll tell you though, and I've heard people say it to me, as they listen on the internet, or perhaps come on a message that I've preached, and they'll tell me that. They'll say, when you preach, it strikes fear in the heart. Why does it strike fear in the heart? For those that are the Lord's and redeemed, there's a comfort in hearing it. But there's a reverence, too, in how we hear. But the world is not used to hearing this. They listen for a while and they think, ooh. They plug their ears and they go their way. So would we. But here it says, the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. These are all kingdoms, fiefdoms back in the day. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. How? By the greatness of thine arm, they shall be as still as a stone. These were enemies. And they were being brought through their land, and yet the Lord said, not a one of them is going to do you any harm. They'll be still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased it. You see why I call this song a song of redeeming? We're still singing the hymn here. Say, how did these folk learn to sing like this? The Lord gave the song to Moses, and I've seen this in a number of countries. Maybe the people don't necessarily know the song, but the one leading the hymn, many times he will state the truth, and then the people will respond. State the truth, respond. I believe that's how this was sung. Moses leading this in worship. Thou shalt bring them in, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in. In the sanctuary, three times now it's been mentioned, the habitation of the Lord, the holy habitation of the Lord, and thy sanctuary, which means a holy habitation. Again, speaking of the tabernacle, this is what was on Moses' mind. How we worship is what distinguishes us as the redeemed from the rest of the world. O Lord, which thy hands have established. Remember Hebrews, where the writer was directed to write that tabernacle not made with hands. That was Christ. That veil that was rent in twain is a picture of his flesh that was rent. That a new and living way might be brought in. And it says in verse 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Somebody didn't get the memo. These people today that say, well, Christ came, but he's waiting now to come back and get his throne. Well, here already it says the Lord shall reign. He's manifested over and over again. This isn't something yet to be. It says, for the horse, Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen in the sea. The Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And I say, well, that's redundant because it was already mentioned to begin with. It's a reminder just who God is. Saving some and destroying others. And Miriam the prophetess, because she's called a prophetess, is because the Lord gave her a word that the saint, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. She wasn't coming up with new words. This wasn't some kind of new revelation. She's repeating exactly what this hymn was. That's what I love about congregational singing. Because the scripture states specifically that the woman is not to teach or preach. But it doesn't mean the woman is inferior. It's because Eve was deceived. And so the woman is said to be silent when it comes to preaching and teaching. And I have people say all the time, well, then what part of worship does the woman have? Exactly like Miriam here. In the congregational singing, We don't just have the men singing. It's men and women blending their voices together. And think about what you're singing. It's not new revelation. It's singing exactly what has been written. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, which means bitter, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" Didn't take long, did it? That's our nature. How soon they forgot. How soon we forget. And he cried unto the Lord. And here again is Christ. The Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. Christ is that tree of life that was cut down and cast into the water in order to make those waters sweet of which we drink. Christ, the living water. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments." What are God's commandments to his people today? It's look to Christ. It's rest in Christ. It's believe on Christ. That's what it is to keep his statutes. That's what it is to do God's will. This is God's will, that he that heareth and believeth I have everlasting life. Well, where does the hearing come from? It comes from God. He says, "I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." The Lord deals with his people differently than with the world. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. This was all ready there. The Lord had them on the way, but they were complaining all along. Sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? Quickly we forget, but for the grace of God. Gracious Father, thank you for your word, how precious it is. I pray that you would cause us even now to rest in what we've read and heard. And that as we move into the second portion, this time of worship, that indeed, our hearts would be prepared to hear a word from you. Turn up the fallow ground of these hearts, dear Lord, and cause the fresh dew, the rain of your grace to fall upon the seed zone. And may it truly bring forth fruit unto the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give you thanks and praise in his precious name. Amen.